The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Show. You know, they say it's a thin line between love and hate, but we're working every day to thicken that line, or at least make it a double, even triple line.
Now here's your line-jumping host, Eric Metaxas.
We're working, all of us as a team, to thicken the line, and I can't tell you that the effort that goes into thickening that line, and therefore I shall not tell you. We're going to get to something serious right away, something wonderful. Many of you know that we worked with CSI in December, that's Christian Solidarity International, to help people who are suffering horribly at the hands of Muslim extremists. And when I say people, I mean Christians, people who are specifically targeted because of their faith. CSI liked what we were doing and asked us if we would continue for the month of January. We said we would be delighted. What I always say with regard to CSI is that, and by the way, this is just, we're just going to talk about CSI for this segment. We've got a quote-unquote regular show in segment number two. But I always say that as horrible as things are, and when we hear about these horrors, they are just unbelievable, the good news is we can do something about it. That's huge, because sometimes you cannot do anything. We can do something. That's why I wanted to have on our guest from, I guess, in December sometime. We had on Pastor Heidi McGinnis. Heidi McGinnis agreed to come back on the program, and she's here now. Heidi, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you, Eric. Thank you so much for having me back on the show.
Well, we loved having you, because you are someone who really, really understands what's going on, because you're one of the people working on the front lines, seeing the horrors and at the same time being able to do something about them. It was very moving the last time you spoke. So I said, I want my listeners to really understand what's going on from your point of view.
Thank you for being a part of freedom for so many that are still enslaved in Islamist Sudan. Thank you to the listeners. Thank you, really, for hearing their prayers and seeing their tears, and having all of us join our hands together to form this holy procession into those slave camps and lifting them up out of slavery and returning them home. I loved it when you said, as horrific as it is also quite wonderful when we can talk about those who are free, who are back with family, back with their community, back with their church, back with their country. And it makes such an enormous difference. You know, I'm thinking of Michael, who along with his wife and children was enslaved, and he was freed, and when he was freed, he was compelled to start a church. So now he leads a church of 750 people. Over 200 are former slaves.
Oh.
That's a great hallelujah, and that's because people said, I can do something, I'm going to do something.
I want to ask you, what country was Michael in?
He was in Sudan, the Islamist Sudan, where Omar Hassan al-Bashir has reigned a reign of terror against black Sudanese.
We had my dear friend Kevin McCullough, the radio host, on this program, and he was talking about, or he reminded me, that government can only do so much. In other words, our government, I think it was under the Bush administration, I can't remember, but put an end to the war in Sudan. So they put an end to the war. However, they did not undo the effects of the war. One of the effects of the war, which they allowed, which we, the U.S., allowed to continue, was the enslavement of these captured Christians under these Islamists. It's hard for us in the U.S. to believe that somehow we were obliged to allow that to continue, that we could not do something about it. Do you understand why that was? Because it just amazes me that,
yes,
that
and,
this happened.
Kevin, like you, is a champion to free Christians and others enslaved by the Islamists through violent jihad. Kevin's quite right. And what happened was there was no provision made whatsoever for people who were violently ripped out of their community, out of their family life, into jihadi slavery. No provision made for their release, for their freedom, for their repatriation. And in part, and I remember also speaking with someone who helped to negotiate that comprehensive peace agreement of 2005 under the Bush administration. Part of it was that, look, we're getting our freedom. We have to wait with the slaves because the Muslims will not want to go before the world, have that cover of darkness of their Quranic sanctioned slavery made visible, and so we have to wait. That's in part, the answer.
I mean, I guess I don't understand that. Can you say that again? What was it that obliged us? I don't know if I just...
I don't know what obliged us, but I was speaking about the South Sudanese leaders because they had such a time. You know, this war where slavery was used as a tool of genocide and ethnic cleansing against Christians, lasted for 23 years. So when the Comprehensive Peace Agreement came about, we did not, in the U.S., address and make slavery a part of it. But I was giving you what the South Sudanese said. They were afraid that the entire thing, so harsh, hardly fought for 23 years, that left 3 million dead and hundreds of thousands of citizens enslaved, they realized that if the issue of slavery came up in Khartoum, Khartoum would put a kibosh on the entire proceeding.
In other words, this was the devil's bargain that
precisely,
we had to make, in a
and
sense.
It's horrific. That's why it's so important for all of us to know that this is a grim reality that they're still enslaved. You know, slavery just isn't a horrific historical construct of dark and evil times past. It's a grim reality for South Sudanese black Christians, citizens who are enslaved in Islamist Sudan. And I've documented and seen their torture inflicted upon them, the result of that. I'm thinking of Michael now, was 17 when I met him. I mean, a handsome young man who was such an amazing Christian spirit, in spite of the fact that he'd been beaten so savagely that he was bent over like a birch tree coming, trying to get back from underneath an ice storm. And then also Garang, whom I met, whose hand was atrophied and his arm lifeless by his side because he'd been beaten savagely because he had lost a goat. That's what happens to people in jihadi slavery.
I just, you know, again, Heidi, it's why I wanted to have you on, because this sounds so abstract to us. We cannot imagine these things. We need to imagine them. We need to hear this. This is something, I mean, I want my listeners to know, this is happening. While we go about our lives and complain about really generally the most ridiculous, shallow things, or, you know, we don't like the cut of some politician's jib. We spend all our energy on that. And meanwhile, people are going through a living hell as we are blathering on social media. Right now, this is happening. The good
and
news
it's happening
is
under a cover of darkness, and the Islamist government doesn't want us to know about it. And so, you know, thanks be to God for lifting up Dr. John Eibner, Guna Vilbak, and members of the South Sudanese Underground Railroad, and also Arab Muslim slave retrievers who assist us in going 9, 10, 12 days walking into the slave camps.
We have to go to a break. I want to hold you over for a second segment. We'll probably run it tomorrow. Ladies and gentlemen listening to this program, I beg you, go to my website, MetaxasTalk.com. MetaxasTalk.com. At the top is a banner. I beg you to do something. It doesn't matter if it's $10, $20. Anybody who can give $156 will send you a hat. If you want to call, I'll give you the number 800-222-5909, 800-222-5909. Please help today. Thank you. Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. And guess what? We have not discussed DACA, or is it DACA? Whatever it is, we haven't discussed immigration policy very much. And it's in the news in case you've been in a coma or on some other planet. Nobody's not talking about it except us. And we figured it was time. So we have on our friend Jenna Ellis, who is a constitutional scholar. Jenna, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me back on, Eric.
Well, thanks for suggesting we talk on this subject because we haven't avoided it on purpose. It's just one of those things that is kind of complicated. You're coming from the point of view of you're a Christian, you're a constitutional scholar. We'd love to know. Tell us, what should we be thinking about this? Because it's pretty confusing.
It is. You know, the mainstream media has focused just on Trump's unsavory, colorful comments, if they even happened or not. And they're completely obfuscating the real issue, which is that Congress is solely responsible for legislating a uniform rule of immigration and naturalization. And so what happened during the Obama administration is that he enforced his own legislative policy through executive order, which is not at all constitutional for a president unilaterally to do. We have the separation of power for a reason. So what Christian conservatives need to realize is that we're not necessarily against the idea of DACA, or at least dealing legally and in some legislative form with these people who've been brought to the United States as children. They didn't voluntarily enter, but they are here illegally. We do need to do something about that, but we need to do something about it through the correct constitutional process. And that's what President Trump is advocating for by rescinding the executive order and saying, Congress, you need to figure out this problem.
Okay. Now, DACA, D-A-C-A, what does that stand for?
That's a deferred action for children of, and actually, I'm sorry, I actually need to get that back up. It's deferred action for childhood arrivals.
Childhood defer. I love it because people talk about DACA. We don't even know what it means. Deferred action for childhood arrivals. Now, what is the difference between DACA and the so-called Dreamers?
Yeah, and that's a good question. And basically what deferred action means is that if someone is here legally, then they are subject to deportation immediately.
Okay, so President Obama said that's wrong. They came here as kids, and so we're going to let them stay. But he did that by executive order, which of course is not very nice.
Right, which is fundamentally unconstitutional. So by having deferred action, he basically said I'm going to tell the Department of Justice and the INS, the Immigration system that we're going to defer any deportation for people who fall under this category. And that was a broad, wide sweeping measure that was also unconstitutional because we do.
Well, it also seems like it's kind of a sleight of hand. In other words, he's not saying we're not going to deport them. He says we're going to defer deportation. In other words, we're going to indefinitely defer deporting them so they can relax and be here. But he wasn't able with an executive order to say that they shouldn't be deported, only that we're going to defer deporting them.
Right. And so that's putting them essentially in limbo. And that's saying you have to re-up for a continuation of your deferral as long as you're still eligible. So it's not actually dealing with their illegal status in any way, shape, or form. It's just simply playing the problem.
And okay. But there's no amnesty here. They're still technically illegal. We're just not going to deport them.
And that's where the DREAM Act comes in. And so that's an acronym as well for Development, Relief, and Education for Alien Minors, which is an acronym that we just use it as the DREAM Act but don't really know what that's regarding. And alien minors, of course, are aliens are people who are here illegally. It's not a derogatory term. It's simply a legal status. And that was a legislative proposal for a process for qualifying minors in the United States would be granted conditional residency and sometimes permanent residency, meeting further qualifications. So that part of it was at least a temporary legislative proposal and a solution to deal with some of the problem.
Okay, so tell me again, if you can say, what does DREAMER, what does the DREAM Act stand for? It's an acronym for what?
Development, Relief, and Education for Alien Minors.
This is so hilarious because this is called packaging. That's what this is. In other words, you come up with an idea, but you're packaging it under the happy term dreamers because they're young and they're dreaming and stuff. So in a way, it takes you away from the actual ideas of the legislation to this kind of slogan or this packaging. So even if you agree with it, I just find it funny that we've got DACA, we've got dreamers. Most Americans whom all of this affects... don't even know the meaning of these terms. So it's fascinating to have you on just to get that, because I think how many times have you watched the news and heard these terms over and over and over again, and yet you're not clear. Many of us are not clear. I certainly was not clear. So,
right, and you know, it is so funny that you know that they just wanted to title it the DREAM Act and figured out some way to make the acronym work because dreamers so promising. And as a side bit of history as well, Senator Dick Durbin has been in the news over the controversy over immigration reform, and he was actually the first senator back in 2001 to propose the DREAM Act and was the first one to introduce this on the Senate, and it's been reintroduced several times but ultimately has failed to pass. And so we've never had real uniform congressional legislation to deal with this category of illegal people here.
The reason this is complicated is that anyone who has a heart cares about these young people and says, you know, yeah, it doesn't seem right. Their parents did this thing. They didn't do it. The problem is you can't simply legislate with how you feel or your heart. Everything affects everything else, right? So obviously, when people get all emotional, it strikes me, for example, that Christians often quote a couple of lines in Scripture about caring for the alien and so on and so forth, and they act as though that automatically translates into federal policy. And I think, wait a second, folks, you can't leap from there to there. It's much more complicated, and you're really, in a way, either relying on emotion or sloppy exegesis. There's no other way. In other words, just because we're called to love the alien and to care for people, of course we are, in fact, called to do that. But it's more complicated than that. That doesn't mean you can make federal policy based on, you know, a line in the Old Testament.
Exactly. And the we there, individual Christians, church. Scripture is not speaking to a federal system of government or king or Congress or anyone in context. And so we do have to remember that even though we as individuals can and should be compassionate, we should care certainly what our government is doing, the government itself as an entity is vested only with the constitutional powers that are provided through our Constitution. And that's ultimately the mandate for government, is to create a uniform rule of immigration and naturalization. That's in Article 1, Section 8. And also we see that the government is primarily obliged to protect the unalienable rights of every American citizen. And so it's not a matter of balanced humanitarianism, compassion, or some of these great other principles with policy. It's making sure that the government is actually fulfilling their mandate first and then dealing with the problem of these dreamers or these so-called dreamers in a way that makes sense and doesn't contravene the government's actual interests.
Right. Well, and again, it's rather complicated. One thing that you hear now and again, which I think is important, and this is where it gets so cynical, is that Democrats tend to know that whoever is here illegally for some reason tends to vote Democratic, tends to not vote conservative. And so there's a cynical play to win votes by keeping these people here. So there's a lot of talk about, you know, caring for people who are suffering and so on and so forth. And yet there's this naked, ugly political side that you can't ignore. So even if your heart is in the right place, you have to realize that it's a little bit more complicated. We're going to be right back, folks. We're talking about DACA. We're talking about the DREAM Act. We're talking about what those terms even mean. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. We'll be right back. This is the Eric Metaxas Show. I'll bet you didn't know that Elton John covered that song. Well, now you do. Hey, we're talking with Jenna Ellis, who is a constitutional scholar at Colorado Christian University. We're talking about immigration policy and the immigration policy debate. Jenna Ellis, again, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Eric.
What else do we need to cover on this? This is kind of a... It's a thorny issue, if ever there was a thorny issue in politics. It looks like what happened, the brouhaha over the word that the president may or may not have said, or the comments that he made, have made it difficult now for us to have what we thought was possible a week ago, where the president would be able to sign some kind of legislation that there would be that DACA would be approved, and then the Democrats would agree to help build a wall and do these other things. It really doesn't look like it doesn't look very good at this point.
And if not, then the Democrats are to blame to say that just because the president may or may not have used an off-color word in a closed-door meeting is no excuse not to do their job and to actually come together and compromise on needed immigration policy. And so if we have some kind of government shutdown, if we don't have legislation that comes forward that will deal with this problem, then the Democrats really need to consider how they're performing their job. And I think that the American voters, as well on both sides, need to look at how Congress is acting. Cory Booker yesterday just came so...
I'm sorry, you're breaking up. Did you say Cory Booker was talking? That was the day before yesterday. And what happened there?
with the National Security Advisor, who did not remember Trump saying this word that he allegedly said, and just getting so completely heated in conversation and in his essentially cross-examination to her, and focus solely on that rather than doing their job is absolutely asinine and is not fulfilling the Congress's real job. And so for us as constitutional conservatives and as Christians, we need to not be against DACA solely because that policy was originally put forward by a Democratic president. We need to look at what President Trump is doing. We need to look at the real situation of dealing with these illegal immigrants who are here and come up with a good solution, and also recognize, I think President Trump is doing an excellent job, and he's very wise to require this compromise, tying the DACA policy to also building a wall, enforcing our safety and security policy as American citizens. That's really the only way to go about this.
I guess President Trump
will come out the victor in this, ultimately.
What I don't understand, really, first of all, this is also often very ugly and political. I mean, when you have somebody like Cory Booker grandstanding and you have Senator Leahy from Vermont, they're just, you know that it's grandstanding for the cameras, it's playing to the base, it's just politics at its worst in the United States of America. So it's depressing to me because there are real human beings whose lives are affected by this. People who are currently have alien status in America, their lives are going to be affected. And then all the Americans that are here legally, our lives are affected by immigration policy. There are tons of African Americans who can't get jobs because they're being undercut by illegal aliens. You have to think about them. What about all the African Americans trying to get a job and they're being undercut by people that are here illegally and they're going to work for less than minimum wage? I mean, it affects so many lives. It's so serious and it's just become so ugly and so political. I have to say, I just find that itself depressing because we are talking about real people. Let me ask you a question. This is just to find out what you think. Why would the president, if he has a Republican Senate and Congress, Senate and House, why would he need to cut a deal with the Democrats? Why couldn't the Republicans do something rather unilaterally?
And they could. I mean, from sheer numbers, they could. And I think that ultimately they should if the Democrats are not willing to compromise. But I think that Trump is being wise by giving the Democrats the opportunity. And if they don't, then again, it's completely and solely on them. They have the opportunity right now to have something that is very important to them politically and would be good for the country. But it comes at the price of compromise. And if they're not willing to do that, then certainly with the majority in the House and Senate right now, the Republicans could push through their own measures. And going back to what you just said, Eric, about affecting and these affecting the illegal immigrants who are still here, I, as a criminal defense attorney, have represented individuals who have been illegal and have had collateral immigration consequences as a result of going through the system. And it is heartbreaking because some of them, I mean, I've represented kids, really. I mean, they're adults, but they're only 18 and 19, who right. for the first time are discovering that they're not U.S. citizens. They don't even know that until they're going through the system. And I have sat with people who have been crying, saying, I've never even been to this country that they're wanting to ship me to. I need help with it.
This is real. So, folks, we'll be right back. We've got to go to a break. We're going to be right back. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Stick around.
On a one-way
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. We're talking about that thorny issue called immigration. Very tough conversation, tough thing in our country right now. We're talking to Jenna Ellis, constitutional scholar at Colorado Christian University. Jenna, we were just talking about how this affects real people. This is tough stuff. And when people play politics on either side, it's ugly. It's difficult. This is very, there's no easy solution. Do you think that the president has the votes in Congress to push through what he wants? In other words, he's just basically giving the Democrats an opportunity to do something bipartisan, which would make everybody look good. But if they're not going to do it, he would be able to enact what he said all through the election, that he's going to build the wall, he's going to do this and this and this and this. I mean, it seems at the very heart of what he promised to the American people. Do you think he will be able to do it?
I think he will definitely be able to do it. And what we ultimately get with immigration policy will depend if the Democrats are willing to compromise. A lot of the GOP and the far, far right don't see the advantage of dealing with the Dreamers in a way that the Democrats do. And this is where I completely agree with you, Eric, that it is a very difficult problem, and we need to look at it not just from a self-interested perspective and also not just from an open borders perspective, but saying, okay, we have this real problem. How best should our country deal with this? And I'm hopeful that the GOP will be willing to take a real look at this and understand that this isn't just about getting Democratic votes. It's not just about deporting people because we can and we want to come down hard as an American country. This is about finding real problems, real solutions to these really difficult problems. And I don't know that we have the votes in Congress right now to pass something that would be as balanced as, frankly, it should be if the Democrats are willing to compromise. And that's where I think President Trump is wise to at least try that from the very beginning, so we have something that is balanced and is reasonable.
You know, this sounds like a crazy question. We just got seconds left, but I've never really clearly understood the idea of the wall. In other words, what is it, do you think, about the wall that is so compelling to people?
I think, and that's a great question, I think that because it was a campaign promise and it is a visual representation of something antithetical to what President Obama did and had these open borders and just free-for-all, and we attribute a lot of the terrorists that are in our country, frankly, to his lax security. So it's right. A visual representation to Americans that Trump has our back, that he cares about our national security interests, and that's why I think people are very fixated on it.
And there's really no way to do it, to have a safe border, without building a wall along most of it. I guess it's just so funny because there's so much talk about it that I always want to know, am I missing something here?
Yeah, and I don't know that it will actually physically happen. I think that Trump is very set on it happening. We can secure our borders through, you know, other cybersecurity, other measures, but if we actually get a physical wall in place, that would go a long way. And I'm really interested to see if he can accomplish that in at least his first 4 years, if not 8.
Yeah, I guess the real question is, will it have the word Trump on it? It's kind of funny. If when you're in New York, I mean, since I'm in New York, you know, every now and again, you just turn around and there's Trump, Trump, Trump. There are two skating rinks in Central Park. I learned to skate in one of them I guess it was December of 1971 as a wee lad. And back then it was the Woolman skating rink. But as we know, Trump rebuilt it. And as a price for rebuilding it, which he did rather brilliantly and rescued the situation, he put the word Trump all over it. There's a skating rink in the northern part. People don't know about this. The Lasker skating rink way up near 110th Street. It also has the word Trump on it. There are numbers of buildings that have Trump on it. So you almost think that even if the wall will not say Trump, which of course it won't, it probably will be known as the Trump wall. There's just no way around it.
Yeah, and as it should be. I mean, if he accomplishes that, then I would be happy to refer to it as the Trump wall, and whether or not his gold emblazoned mark is on that or not.
It's incredible. I mean, the other side of this is the drug trafficking. There's little doubt that tons of drugs are coming in through our southern border. That is destroying American lives constantly, every single day. You would think that more Americans would see that.
Yeah, and you know, and that's another issue that is just so prevalent, and especially here in Colorado, where I am, where we've legalized marijuana, we've seen just devastating effects of that here in this state. And you think about all of the hard drugs that are coming across the border. I mean, this issue is so much more complex than just being focused on the Dreamers. Immigration and also securing our borders from not just people, but of these products and these drugs that shouldn't be coming in. I mean, it's such a complex issue that I'm grateful that President Trump is taking a very hard look at this and is requiring Congress to look at it and pass meaningful, comprehensive legislation, hopefully will turn our country back in a positive, conserving direction and to conserve ultimately the principles of freedom and liberty that have made America great.
Well, you know, the other thing, too, is this gets so emotional and people scream back and forth. But, you know, when Trump in the campaign said that, you know, that Mexican is letting in rapists and bad people and whatever, he, you know, the idea that he's talking about all Mexican immigrants, I never understood why that seems so clear to people. It seemed clear to me that the opposite was true, that he was basically saying that if you have open borders, yeah, a lot of good people are going to come in, but a lot of really, really bad, scary people are going to come in, and we can't allow that. We have to vet who comes in. But it gets so emotional. People are screaming at each other on this. It's a pity. It's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on, just to talk a little bit about it. It's an important conversation. Jenna Ellis, thank you so much for your time. Just wonderful to have you on.
Thank you, Eric. Great to be with you again.
Folks, we're going to be right back with a final segment. Go to MetaxasTalk.com. Please visit the website, MetaxasTalk.com. We'll be right back.
Nothing is really wrong.
Watching you for quite some time, trying to find a way of making you mine. Long before you started coming on strong with me, with the super charm that brought me down to see. Hey, didn't you know that you've been acting like a movie star?
Hey there, folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. Albin, we've just got a few minutes left in this hour. But
we,
you know what? We forgot
what?
To talk about the other day. I mean, this is the funniest thing to me. This is like 2 days ago now. I can't even remember. We have not joked about this because we've been doing all these other interviews. When the president of the United States got a physical, right?
Yes.
And he personally asked if the doctor, who's like a bipartisan doctor, he's done, you know, Obama and whatever. He's not some, you know, Trump supporter. But the president asked if the doctor would examine his mental health also, because I think he was sick and tired of hearing this stuff. He thought, let's get the official word from this White House doctor who's respected, you know, bipartisanly respected. And the press conference was one of the funniest things I have ever seen. This is a couple of days ago, folks.
Yeah, it went on for like 50 minutes or something.
The reporters, it's like when you don't take no or yes for an answer.
Right.
Like, no matter what he said, they kept digging and digging, hoping that they could kind of pull some thread that would lead to some statement or something. It really was bizarre, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I put out a couple of tweets. I don't know if you remember, but in the New Yorker magazine a couple of years ago, I did this Trump Bible thing.
Oh, yeah.
Where I was doing these Bible quotes that were, you know, they were meant to be funny, obviously. But It was kind of like, here's, I think this is the one that I did. Hang on a second. The first one that I did. Oh, here it is. So this is like a fake Bible quote. If you want to read these, you can go on my Twitter feed. But it says, so it's like a fake Bible quote. It says, so the White House doctor said, lo, the president is healthy and sane. But CNN's doubting Jim Acosta said unto him, verily I say unto you, unless I place my hand in POTUS's colon and can vouchsafe his prostate health personally, I will not believe. Hashtag Trump Bible. And that was basically what the thing was like. No matter what he said, they said, well, you know, it just went on and on and on. So I'm not going to read these because it's not going to come across on the
But you can think people
air.
Can check them out.
But if you go to my Twitter feed, I couldn't believe the comedy of it. We're living in funny times. I mean, sometimes the divisiveness is very painful, but sometimes it's just hilarious. It's like watching a Bugs Bunny cartoon. No matter what this respected doctor said, they kept asking him more questions, like basically saying, is there anything that happened in your interaction with the president? They actually said this, that you couldn't share with us. Like, you're like, wait a second, what? Like, was there anything that happened between you, the doctor, and the president during this private examination that you're unable to share with us? Was there anything you're unable to share? In other words, they're digging.
Right.
And if he said yes, there are a couple of things, whatever, then the speculation would run crazy rampant on what was the thing that they do. But it was one of the funniest things. If you haven't seen it, anyway, you can go to my Twitter feed. We're out of time anyway. But I just said I've got to mention it because it's one of the comedy events of the year. Was the press conference between this doctor and a press that no matter what you tell them, they're like, you know, when he was had the sniffles, is that a dog whistle to his base? It's insane. Okay, folks, that's the end of the show. Thank you. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Our website, MetaxasTalk.com. Do not forget, if you haven't yet given to CSI, go to the banner at the top of MetaxasTalk.com and give today, please.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.